Well, good morning again. I'm going to be drinking some water today. We showed up on Monday. My voice showed up yesterday from Albania. So no screaming today. You guys are in luck. And if you close your eyes, I sound a little bit like Bill Clinton. So for some of you, that will be a nightmare. Hopefully that's not the only thing you remember today that I said. So we are going to be kicking off a new series as we move into a Thanksgiving season. And the series is called So What? Talking about the principle of reaping what we sow. And the Bible is full from cover to cover about the fact that what we plant is what we will reap. The things that we sow out in our life come back to us full fold. And so we'll kind of introduce this a little bit today and launch into something that I think every single one of us struggle with. I know that I do. And the reality is that if you apply the things that we talk about today, it could change your life. Now some of you are interested. You're like, wow, what's he going to say? And we're going to be in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 18 today. And while you're turning there, we'll kind of go over what I would call a theme verse for our series. So kind of move on to James chapter 3, but I want you to look first and foremost at a theme verse that we'll look at as we go through, because it really talks about this truth that God has in our life. And it's in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Here's what it says. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." You see, in this passage, it's talking about the fact that as followers of Christ, we have been asked to live our life a certain way, that we have been asked to not grow weary in doing good. And what a great example of what we heard even today about the fact that because of our relationship with Christ, we are doing good all over. And so it says that this idea is that as we sow those good seeds, as we sow those good things, that in time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And so my prayer is that over these next 4 weeks is that we will begin to learn how to cultivate a blessed life. And I know sometimes you hear that word blessed and it takes you off to all kinds of thoughts in your mind, but really this is just a life that is full of joy, full of happiness. And the greatest place that we can experience that is in our relationship with God. And so how we do that is we begin to sow those seeds that the Bible talks about. And today we're going to be talking about sowing seeds of words, how words are so powerful. And I don't think anybody would disagree with the fact that words, as the Bible will read in a few minutes, says it has the ability to give life and to give death by our words and what we say. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, words do have power. They do have meaning. I was reminded of this in Albania because many times we get a chance to sample the cuisine. And it wasn't on this particular trip, but there is a particular thing that they eat. It looks like a pizza, but it's like three or four layers, and you'll see a picture of it pop up here. It's known as börek. Börek. You know, some of you are thinking that's, you know, something for my hair, but it's actually like a pizza, and it's layered, and it can have meat and and all kinds of cheese, and you're sitting there thinking, hurry up, Pastor Ron, because we got to get to lunch. And so this is just an awesome thing to eat. Now, this is an awesome word to say, börek. The challenge is that in Albanian, there's another word that sounds ever so slightly, börek. Guess what it means? Underwear. So people would ask, what's your favorite thing to eat in Albania? I would say, underwear. Until they corrected me. Because words do matter, don't they? They have meaning. They have power. That's awful power. People are going around, that guy's weird. He goes around eating underwear. So, you know, words have power. And so here's the question, you know. When it comes to this idea of sowing, we're going to lay a little groundwork here for this principle of the harvest. Now, how many of you grew up on a farm? Okay, just a few of you. How many of you have planted a garden? Okay, almost, wow. Lots of folks. How many have eaten something out of a garden? Okay, 100%. All right, so we're doing good here. And so, you know, this principle, and so, you know, if you grew up on a farm or you have planted something, then you understand this principle. But let me just show you a picture here of what it looks like when you begin to plant seeds. And these are wheat seeds. And so here's a couple of principles I want you to get as we start today and we move on, but especially as we look at today. And here's what it says. The principle number one, it says, you will harvest what you plant. And I know this isn't hard stuff. This is simple, but it applies to our lives just like it applies. You know, those are wheat seeds. You're not going to get watermelons. You're not going to get tomatoes. You're not going to get anything else except wheat is going to come out. And so you harvest what you plant. It's a principle of the harvest. Another principle is you are going to harvest more than you plant. Like one little seed as it goes in, but I mean it will produce more than what goes into it. It'll multiply. So something small can begin to multiply something and make it bigger and bigger and produce more. And so just a few seeds can produce a lot. And so this is a principle of the harvest. And then there's another principle that you can change the seeds, which means you can plant something else. And when you change those seeds, you can harvest something else. Because some of you are probably thinking today, wow, okay, we're going to talk about words, and I know I struggle with this, or this idea of the harvest. And I know in my life I've been harvesting a bunch of seeds, and I know that I'm reaping the benefits of what's going on. And you're sitting here thinking, man, that's bad news for me. But the good news about the principle of the harvest is, guess what? You can start throwing different seeds. You can start sowing something different so that you begin to reap a new harvest. That's good news today. It's good news for every single one of us that we're not stuck reaping what we are sowing because we can begin to change the seeds. And so today we're just going to talk about the fact that words matter, that we sow words all the time into people's lives. Now, let me just ask you this. Every single one of us, we use words, right? Whether it's with texting or whether it's with, you know, Instagram or whether it's on Facebook or face-to-face, we all have conversations. And so just for fun, let's see if what you guys can figure out. So how many words do you think the average man speaks in one day? Now turn to your neighbor and give him a number. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him what you think your number is. Some of you are like, you don't know my husband. Well, according to experts, you can see if you're close on this, the average man speaks 15,000 words a day. 15,000 words a day. Now, how many words do you think a woman speaks? So tell your neighbor what you think that number is. Guys, be careful. Be careful on this one. Be careful. Be really careful. It's exactly double, according to the experts. 30,000 words a day. So guys, ladies, when your husband comes home from work and he has nothing left to say, he's just out of words. He's done. 15,000, done. So what does this mean for us as we talk about that words matter? We use a lot of words every day. And I think sometimes we think that they're just going into a void, but they're not. You're sowing seeds everywhere you go. And so the Bible has a lot to say about this. And so guys, listen, you only have 15,000. You got to make every word count. And ladies, you have 30,000, so you have more opportunity to practice, okay? The truth that we're going to be talking about here in just a few minutes. And so what I want to do is, as we go through James chapter 3, verses 1 through 18, we're not going to read every single verse. You can go back and read those. But what I'm going to do in the time that we have left is to give you three words that you can plant that will start a harvest in your life, a harvest of blessing. It can be life-changing if you begin to plant these in there. And so in James chapter 3, starting in verse 2, here's what he says. He says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. And what I want you to notice in this verse is the very first part. What does it say? It says, we what? We all stumble, right? Every single one of us struggle with this. This is something that not a one can say that there's never been a time. As a matter of fact, in the last month, if you've said something with your mouth that you just wish you could take back, would you raise your hand? 100%. 100%. We all stumble. And so no one is perfect in that. And so listen, you know, we've all made mistakes in the last month. Here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to listen to this message and immediately begin to say this. Well, I hope my husband's listening. Or I hope my wife's listening. Or I hope my kids. Well, my kids should be here. Listen, this message is for you. It's for you. It's for me. Because we all, according to James, struggle with our mouth, with our tongue. And so this message, don't listen for somebody else today. You can tell them to go listen online at some other point, but I want you to open up your heart to what God is going to say today. And so in James chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, he continues. Here's what he says when he's talking about our mouth and our tongue. He says, "But when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark." You see, James is painting a picture here that something very, very small can have a big result, like that it can blow up, that it can become very large in that. And so it's something that is planted can take off. And listen, I've seen this. My daughter planted one of these 4x4, you know, gardens that were so popular maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And listen, I had never planted a thing in my life, and I just started throwing seeds out. I didn't know you're supposed to put like 2 feet, you know, that's 2 inches here, 2 inches there. And you know what? Surprisingly, the Lord is good. He allowed things to grow. And we began to have cucumbers and squash, which really pushed everything else out. So we're taking over, you know, and I just couldn't believe the harvest from those little seeds that were coming. Now, they weren't real big. They were like this big, but they were certainly tasty. And so this is what James is talking about here, that something very, very small can cause great damage. And so the first thing that I want you to do, the first word that I want you to plant in my life and yours is that we need to be positive instead of negative. It's so easy sometimes to default to the negative. And if you look back in this passage, what you're going to see is that James really gives the picture of two things. He gives a positive picture and he gives a negative. Read with me. What does it say? And if you want to underline these, he talks about first the positive thing that the tongue can do. The positive way that it can. He talks about and likens it to a very small rudder that turns a big ship. You know, your mouth speaking into someone's life to them could actually turn their life in another direction. The words that you speak, the words that I speak into someone else's life, the seeds that I sow in there could make such an impact that their life could be changed. But he also gives a negative side. He says, listen, but those words also can be like a forest fire that can burn and set ablaze and destroy. You see, I would say this, is that as we think about the seeds that we are sowing, the two pictures he gives here is a positive and a negative. And I would encourage you, let's be positive. Let's be positive in our words as we sow seeds, as we are like that rudder on that ship. You know, some of you can think back to maybe times in your own life to where somebody said a word and it changed the direction of your life. A teacher, a friend, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, a parent, whatever it was. But you can also, maybe there are some of you today who can think back to somebody who sowing a seed of negativity into your life changed the trajectory of your life because it dashed a dream. You can't do this. You're stupid. You don't know. Whatever it is that someone spoke into your life, maybe even not realizing today you are still carrying that hurt, that damage. You see, James is talking about how dangerous the tongue can be, and he gives an example of how positive and also how negative. And Proverbs 18:21 talks about how and what a big deal words are. How powerful. It says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits." What it says is that those who love it, making a choice, we can choose whether to have death or to have life. We can choose to talk positively into someone's life and encourage, or we can choose to bring death as we talk negatively, cutting. You see, what comes out of our mouth really matters. You see, as parents, as grandparents, as guardians, those who have influence into our children's life, listen, it hurts even as adults, but children, man, they are so susceptible to those that are speaking and sowing seeds into their life. Many of us have experienced that even as we have grown up. Some stats are staggering about what children hear every day. And I'm just assuming these are correct, but it just seems almost unbelievable. It says the average child hears 432 negative comments a day. And then only 42 positive. Every single day. Do you see the importance as followers of Christ to begin to understand that our mouth, our words matter? The Bible talks about this so many times about our conduct. We need to be positive, speaking words of life into people's lives. But not only that, we need to be a blessing instead of a curse, speaking blessings into people's lives. What do we read in James chapter 3, verses 8 through 10? He says, "But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth came praise and cursings." And I love the way James puts a period on this. And he says it for us today because he says, "My brothers and sisters, this should not be." Not, "Hey, try not to. You shouldn't do it." He said, "Listen, this is not conduct of those who are my brothers and sisters in Christ." He says, "It's just not right. We shouldn't treat each other this way." And as followers of Christ, I know that I have to wake up. You have to wake up and begin to think about my words, the things that I say. You know, sometimes we say, "Well, you know, it's just, I need to get something off my chest. So it's just who I am. You know, I've got to share something with somebody." No. No. The reality is that what James is saying here is that we come and we worship, and with the same mouth we praise God, and then we walk right out the door and we begin to curse and to cut and to say false things and to be mean and all the things that we can do with our mouth, slander, that the same mouth that worshiped God, we walk right out the door and to His creations, the ones that He made in His image, that God loved, that Jesus died for, and what do? We begin to sow seeds of hatred, cutting, of negativity, of cursing. Listen, it matters what we say. And I'm speaking to myself on this. Sometimes it becomes so easy just to say, "Well, does it really matter?" It matters. It matters if I cuss. It matters what I say. It matters the topic that I talk about and the jokes that I share. James says, "Listen, don't forget that that mouth was just praising God." So many times in our life, I don't know about you, but sometimes you hear the negativity. It begins to come into your life and you those seeds begin to take soil. And so, listen, let me just tell you, we need to be people that are sowing blessings on other people. That we are encouraging. That we are ones that are coming alongside others and looking for their very best and looking for when they're down, not looking for the opportunity that we might be negative. You know what I love about our youth and their leaders? Chris has challenged them for this whole month, every day, and to look and to take Scripture and put it online. And listen, I've read a lot of that, and a lot of it is just uplifting, encouraging stuff for people to read. You know, Facebook has a lot of good stuff and a lot of bad stuff, but listen, when it comes, and so many of you I read, you know, you put something in there of encouraging and talking about what God is doing, and it's such a great thing. But listen, let me just tell you something, parents and grandparents and guardians, that as God has placed us over our children, I just want to say to you that what He is asking us to do is to bless those children, to bless them, to speak life into them, not discouragement, but love and blessing. So many times, you know, we worry about what kids eat. You know, we'll worry and we'll try to, you know, come up with a good balanced diet that they're going. I think there's a picture that's going to pop up. And, you know, I don't know why I keep showing you guys food. You know, you guys are going to be like, you know, listen, you know, whatever I can do to keep you awake, you know, is what I'm going to do if I just keep showing you food. But we worry so many times about the nutrition of our children, but at the same time, we don't worry about the fact of what with seeds that we are pouring into the lives of them. And listen, food is great. Food is awesome. We need it. But let me tell you something, that our children and every single one of us really needs something greater even than food. And we need to be blessed in our life and understand the value of who we are and what God has done. And that even as parents and as guardians, that we love them. That we believe in them. That we want to bless them. Encourage them. Not negativity. You see, we're living in a world that is starving for this. Starving. If you were to be around a group of people very long and you got into a conversation with them, I promise you that over time, what they would tell you is that people, they are looking for people that will speak a blessing in their life and encourage them and tell them the truth. And ultimately, as followers of Christ, guess what? The greatest blessing that we can share with them is how much God loves them. How much He paid for them. You see, the world is starving for those who will come alongside and be a blessing to them. What did Jesus do? I love this. The picture of Jesus with the children. In Mark chapter 10, verse 16, here's what it says. It says, "And He took the children in His arms, and He placed His hands on them, and He blessed them." What was happening in that situation? The disciples were saying, no, get away, get away, get away. We don't have time for you. And Jesus said, no, come sit in my lap. You're valuable. You're amazing. He spoke a blessing into their life. And so when we start sowing blessings into other people's lives, guess what begins to happen? The principle of the harvest says this, is that we ourselves are blessed. That we ourselves begin to receive back the very thing by which we desire, that we might be blessed as well. And so we see that we should be positive instead of negative and blessings instead of cursings. And then the last word I want to give you is that our words should help instead of hurt. Our words should help. Our words should never hurt. You know, your words actually can help people. A text. How many of you have received a text just at the right time? And it was exactly what you needed to hear. It was a blessing, wasn't it? Somebody speaking into your life. You know what's interesting is that words, so many times of encouragement, we get down. I want to show this to you. I actually thought my wife would be in the nursery today, but she's not. And so I'm going to show you something that she made me. And we play poker a lot. No, I'm just kidding. So this is a deck of cards. Talking about words that help and not hurt. My wife took the time and came up with 52 things that she loves about me. This must have taken months. Just some of them I can't read. They're just personal. But she just says all kinds of things. And listen, there are times when I just need a pick-me-up or an encouragement or to be blessed. That her words help me. They don't hurt me. I know that she's for me and not against me. I know she's speaking life and not death. And she just wrote, "I love the relationship you have with our girls. I love hearing you pray for us. I love how you complete me. I love how you support me and the girls." The one that I loved was, she said, "I love how you know how I like that you make the bed up every morning." I like how she worked some work into these things. That was, but listen, I'm going to tell you what. This is a great opportunity and tool for you to put into practice what we're talking about today. Listen. Don't go to Best Buy for Christmas this year. Get a deck of cards. Spend some time and realize that our words are meant to help and not hurt. And so what do we see in James 3:18 as he closes out this section? It says, "Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Once again, this picture of sowing and reaping. And what does he say? He says, listen, peacemakers, those who speak peace into people's lives, who help, who don't create dissension, who don't make it all about themselves, who don't stir the pot, who don't try to cause dissension. These peacemakers, it says, will reap a harvest of righteousness. And we don't have time to unpack it. Greek word there is, the word is a life that is right and that is good. And as you begin to speak peace into other people's life, guess what comes back to you? Peace. A life that is good. Not perfect. You still have issues going on. But what it is that I'm not sowing things out that I'm now reaping back to myself to add to the troubles that are already going on. But I am one who is my instead of hurting. And so today, the question is, are we going to be peacemakers with our words? What are we going to say? If in Ephesians 4:29, here's what it says. And I love this because it's just a recipe for putting all this into practice. It says, "Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." You see, as followers of Christ, we have got to stop the cutting down, the negativity, the cursing. We've got to begin to be people of blessing, of encouragement. You see, as we look back in this verse, what do we see? It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful." Helpful for building up others according to whose needs? Their needs, not yours. I'm not going to say something to get my needs met so that it may benefit those who listen. So listen, the next time that I think about the next thing that I'm going to say or the next thing that you're going to say, what I need to ask is a question to myself. Will this benefit them? Will this build them up? Or will it tear them down? Is it helping them or is it hurting them? And so here's some good words. I want to give you some words to start today as we come to a close. So here's some words that we can start. We'll just do them all together. You ready? The first one is this. I forgive you. I forgive you. Some of you here today just need to tell somebody, I forgive you. I'm letting it go. I'm going to speak life and not cursing. I forgive you. The next one. I love you. Some of you today need to hear from somebody that you love them. You need to tell somebody today that you love them. Oh, well, I told her I loved her when we got married, so I don't need to tell her again. Hogwash. Every day. Tell your children that you love them. Tell your spouse that you love them. Speak words, sow seeds into their life. And then thank you. We're taught this as kids, right? Somewhere along the way, we just quit saying thank you. We're about to move into the season of Thanksgiving, and I'm just saying, don't let it be just this time that we begin to have Thanksgiving. Listen, I just want to say this to you. We can be thankful in our hearts, and we can be thankful, but let me just say this. Gratitude doesn't exist unless you speak it. Today there's somebody you just need to say thank you to. You need to let them know how much you appreciate who they are. And so some of you are probably sitting here and you're thinking, well, great. I'm just going to try harder. I'm just going to try to be more positive. I'm just going to, and listen, there's nothing wrong with thinking that, but here's the problem with that. Is that when it comes to making a change, a true change of seed sowing, of reaping, that for a while we can do that, but ultimately we begin to be self-centered again. But here's what Luke chapter 6, 4, verse 45 says when it talks about this idea of sowing seeds. And it says this. It says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his, where? His heart. You see, it's about a heart change. What flows out of the heart? He continues here. Jesus talking. He says, an evil man brings evil things out of the evil store up in his heart. He says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If you're someone who speaks nothing but venom and hatred and negativity, what Jesus is saying is, it's time for a heart check. It's time for a heart check. Trying harder is not going to do it. A changed heart is the only way that you begin to have a heart that overflows with the things that we've talked about today. And so how do you do it? Well, you just give it to God. You say, God, I don't want to be this person anymore. God, I want that. You know, if you're a follower of Christ and you've drifted away and there's this challenge in your relationship with God and you're not spending time in His Word, and you're not praying, and you're not doing all, and this unforgiveness and all the things that are in there are getting in the way of your spiritual walk with God. Listen, today is a day that you have that cleaning out of your heart. Say, today, God, I just want to begin to sow the seeds of the joy that comes out of my heart by my relationship with You. Speaking life and not death. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. Maybe you've been sitting in church your whole life, but you know without a shadow of a doubt that your heart is far away from God. Today can be a day that you can turn your heart over to Christ. Be filled with His Holy Spirit. And let me close with this, talking about the power of words. Let me share with you the most powerful words ever spoken. Words that change lives. Words that can change my life today and change your life today. In Luke 23, 33, we see Jesus on the cross. And here's what He says. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Him there along with the criminals, one on His right and one on His left. I want you to picture Jesus on the cross, having been spat on, having been beaten, and now criminals on either side of Him, and Him not deserving of anything that is there. Would have been a perfect time for Him to spew the negativity and the hatred of all those who are around them. But what do we see? We see the words that come and cut through time and today change lives all over the world, as if we've heard. Because what do we see? What Jesus says in Luke 23, 34, the most powerful words ever spoken. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Father, forgive them. Powerful words, life-changing words, words that we don't deserve, but spoken out of the fullness of His heart, having poured out His life for me and for you on the cross. And these powerful words today give me and you an opportunity for life change. So let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. God, I pray for me today. God, as I am someone that sometimes struggles with my own words, Father, I pray for me that I might be someone who speaks blessing and not curses. God, that my heart might be full with the joy of Your salvation. That my words flow and are encouraging, loving, helping, not hurting. Father, reality is we know we're not perfect, and there are so many times that myself and every single person here, Father, we fall short. So Father, we give this time to you, Father, that you will deal with our hearts. God, that you will deal with life change, because only you can do it. And my prayer is that we will be open today to what you are speaking into our lives and that we will deal with it. That we can genuinely leave this place, God, following you in a new way. Having a changed heart, a clean heart. So Father, we thank you. Jesus, we lift up your precious name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As they play, this will be your opportunity to come. If you'd like to pray, spend some time down here at the prayer area, you are welcome. I'll be down front if you'd like to pray with me. But open up your heart to what God is doing today.